I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. RJ Aquino joins me now. He is a candidate for COPE, the Coalition of Progressive Electors, in this Saturday's election, the 19th of November. I've long said I was voting for Mr. Aquino even before I've ever talked to him or met him. Even now, we've never met. However, I think he brings a perspective to City Council that will serve this town well. Even though much has been made of his Filipino heritage, that along with the fact he's young would make him a welcome addition to council and in representing this city. I also believe, having read about him online and elsewhere, he comes to this race from a very sincere place, and for me that's just as important despite whatever policy differences I might have with him or his party. He is the co-founder of, how do you pronounce that, RJ?
Tulayan.
Tulayan. An organization that builds bridges between the Filipino community here and abroad with other communities in Vancouver. He is on the executive of COPE and serves on the board of Vancouver's Asian Heritage Month. His Twitter handle is Ayoslang. The website is at rjaquino.ca. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, RJ Aquino. Good morning, Mr. Aquino.
Good morning, Joseph. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. My parents are Filipino, but I can't really pronounce words, unfortunately. I should go to one of your classes.
Yeah, well, it'll be ongoing throughout the year, so you're welcome anytime.
Yeah. Are you surprised at the success of that? I mean, I hear from a lot of people on Twitter and the sort that's something that a lot of people go to.
It's not really a big surprise given the feedback that we've received. There's a lot of young Filipino Canadians that are, they're somewhat disappointed that they didn't get to grow up hearing the language as much as they, or to the point where they're able to speak. A lot of the people that do sign up for our classes understand but don't speak, and that's why they're taking the class. So it's a good intro to them, and they're able to pick it up. And we're now actually starting to see a lot of people sign up who aren't even Filipino, who want to learn about the language, and either because they're going for a trip to the Philippines or their significant other is Filipino.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this has been a busy campaign for you, hasn't it? Have you enjoyed it?
It has been very busy, but I'd have to say it's been very, very enjoyable. It's the most tiring thing I've ever put myself through.
Now, you're someone who wasn't born here, who came to this city, I guess, half your life ago.
That's right.
Do you learn from being on the street and campaigning, talking to voters and the sort?
Yeah, I mean, I moved to Vancouver when I was 17. I'm 30 years old now. Previous to moving to Vancouver, I lived in San Francisco. So I guess for the most part, I've acclimated to sort of the North American lifestyle and sort of the culture here. I have retained and I'm still, I'd say, very fluent in Philippine culture, and I take both those perspectives every time I go out in the street and campaign, and just because, one, you know, I have the ability to relate to people living here, born and raised in Vancouver, but two, the immigrant story is very similar across the spectrum, whether you're Filipino, Chinese, South Asian, it doesn't matter. The immigrant experience really speaks to, to a large segment of Vancouver's population.
Why did you decide to run?
We only have 15 minutes, right?
No, we have as much time as you want.
Well, it all started really with working with the Filipino community and getting involved with promoting, you know, Philippine culture, heritage, history, and language to young Filipino Canadians. And part of the Lion's mandate is to promote positive role models within the community, just to foster positive cultural identification. And our aim is to do this without the imposition of political, religious, or regional bias. And even throughout this campaign, I make sure not to, you know, use my Tulayan networks or our Facebook page or Twitter and all of that to promote myself, because we really want, or we really believe in the separation of politics, religion, and regional bias from our aims. And through that community work, I ended up meeting actually a lot of politicians, and they have been very encouraging in their support, but they've also pointed out that seem to have an aptitude for politics. Why don't you give it a shot? And, well, I'd ask, what do you mean? Why don't you just get to know the issues around the city, and you'll find that a lot of the issues that you're working on are actually issues that affect many, many other communities throughout Vancouver. So I did that, and I did my research, and the three major political parties in the city, Vision, COPE, and the NPA, I actually have friends and or acquaintances within each party, and I spoke to people there and learn about the history, learn about the who's involved and what they stand for, and I found that COPE's principles stood most closely to mine, and that's when I decided to, at first join the COPE executive. And really, it's just that was one of the best learning experiences as far as knowing what issues are important to people in Vancouver. And also learning about COPE's history and how they stood for the vulnerable people in the city, how they stood for social justice, and how they stood for really the interests of Vancouverites as a whole is what appealed to me. And even then, I wasn't thinking about running. And last January, my daughter was born. Mm-hmm. And that sort of, that life-changing event just changes your perspective on things. And that's when I decided, you know what, I can continue to talk the talk, but maybe it's time for me to walk the walk in terms of getting involved in the process and the system and see what type of change I can do on the political side of things. And I've seen what positive contributions politicians have had, and that's something that that has encouraged me to pursue this, because I've seen that the changes that can be done.
Now, I've seen a number of individuals and websites, publications in the city endorse you, and invariably, every time they do, they mention being Filipino.
And, yes.
The problem I have with that is that one becomes then labeled as the Filipino candidate. For me, the more compelling narrative is that you're 30 years old.
Yes.
Did you find that there is a risk in being labeled the Filipino candidate in this campaign?
Well, I don't see it as much as a risk as it is just sort of, as it raises people's eyebrows. And I think it does so in a way that compels people to ask, well, is there anything else about him? And that's something that I encourage. It's just that I'm not just a Filipino candidate. I'm a Filipino that's a candidate for the entire city of Vancouver. And, there's been talk of, or at least people have brought up the issue of, being the token ethnic or young vote getter. And it's something that is... In a way, there's a lot of people that sort of see it in that sense, but more often than not, I feel that people vote based on their values and are interested in the issues, and they don't see it in those ways that, oh, he's the token ethnic vote-getter, or he's the token youth vote-getter. I think just the more cynical side of the spectrum sees it that way, but by and large, those are very, very few from I do even venture to say thousands of people that I've met in the last couple of months.
Now, about sort of youth engagement, people our age, I'm just a little bit younger than you are. Do you find that people our age are engaged politically, that they're interested in politics, that they'll go out and vote tomorrow?
I'd have to say it's getting better. It's not as good as I want it to be,
yeah.
But it's the engagement is getting better. And for the most part, it's not apathy. I mean, sure, apathy is out there, and there's always talk about voter apathy every time there's an election. But I feel that it's not as prevalent as what many people make it out to be. It's really about people knowing that there's an election, first of all. It's like as soon as people know, hear about that there's an election, then you can start to engage them on how this election will affect their lives and what the issues that are being talked about are, and who the people that are running for election are and what they bring to the table. And I find that as soon as people know, people start to care, and as soon as people us to care, then that's when they become inclined to take action. And when it comes to young people, it's as far as engagement is concerned, we need to go to sort of an extra step. And as public servants and as leaders in the community, we need to present ourselves in a positive way. We need to remain positive. A lot of young people are turned off by the negativity that's often associated with sort of these big campaigns attacking each other. And I found that by just, you know, making sure that we stick to a positive message and that young people understand that we're here to stand for something instead of just standing against something, that really resonates with them.
If you're elected tomorrow, and you'll be a city councilor, so you won't really have the power to do anything with what's going on at the Art Gallery in terms of Occupy Vancouver. But, mm-hmm. say you're elected tomorrow, mm-hmm. what would you urge the mayor that's elected tomorrow along with you, whoever that might be, what would you urge them to do about the encampment there?
Well, I mean, I'd urge them to continue to focus on the message of the Occupy movement. And really, it's keeping in mind that the safety of the people is very important, and to also make sure that we respect the people's right for peaceful protest. That's something that I support. That's something COPE supports, and we need to continue the conversation and dialogue around why this movement is happening. We need to focus our actions as a government to address those issues of growing inequality, those issues of just a general unrest among the 99%. You know, us recognizing that if you don't start to take these actions, that it could spiral into chaos, as a lot of people are pointing out.
Now, your party is aligned with the governing party, Vision Vancouver. You guys are allies in this campaign.
That's right.
One of the criticisms that Vision has been getting over the last 3 years, in this last term, is sort of the perception that there's a lack of consultation, that they seem to just ram things through in council. Now, if you're elected with them, how can you improve access that citizens might have to council, to City Hall? And would you call Vision on sort of these sort of missteps that people are saying that they've committed?
Oh, yeah. And that's something that two existing co-counselors have done, Ellen Woodsworth and David Cadman. That's something that they've done, is to call out, the missteps. And every time there's a disagreement, we would be respectful in pointing out our differences. I mean, the important thing to remember here is that the reason why Vision and COPE have this joint agreement is that we want to maintain a progressive voice in City Hall. And the way we see it, it's better that we argue with Vision on how to get things done rather than, say, arguing with the NPA on whether or not to get things done.
Now, Mike Klassen, who's an NPA candidate, we live in the same neighborhood. We live in the Fraser King Edward area,
mm-hmm.
and he's a friend of mine. And when he was, he's been on during this campaign, and we talked about one of these proposals that we heard you come out with,
mm-hmm.
and that was the naming up portion of Fraser around the King Edward area, something Filipino as we have in Kingsway. Naming a portion of that street Little Saigon. Is that one of your priorities if elected tomorrow?
Well, one of my priorities is to make sure that that movement, that community, is heard and somebody to help them articulate their vision and views. It is something that it is an idea that I support. But I equally support the idea that the community as a whole, not just the Filipino segment of that area, is consulted, and pretty much everyone have a respectful dialogue around the implementation of designating that area as it's called, or at least the current form is going to be called Pinoy Town. And I just want to clarify, too, that this is something that started out of Facebook. I saw it, and I thought, you know, that sounds like a great idea, and that's something that I can see myself supporting. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't started by me. It started by members of the Filipino community, and what I've always maintained to them is that remember to, you know, gather as much support as you can, engage other members of the community in respectful dialogue, and make sure that you understand that there might be some people that are opposed to it, but you also have to, you know, why they may be opposed to it, and respect their views. And when it comes down to it, it will be up to the community to determine if this is something that can be implemented or not.
I mean, there is some opposition to what happened on Kingsway.
That's right.
And it sort of came out after it was sort of approved.
Mm-hmm.
Another issue that comes up a lot from the guests that I've had on during this campaign is affordability.
Mm-hmm.
And making Vancouver affordable again. I'm sure that that's a concern of yours. How would you, as one member on council,
mm-hmm.
Affect change in that regard? I mean, what would you do to make Vancouver affordable again?
Well, I mean, if elected with my fellow candidates, there would be three of us. And yeah, sure, there would only be three of us, but we would bring a strong presence to council and highlighting what tools are available to us and what tools we can create to address the affordability issues, and really affordability centers around housing. We would advocate and fight for the establishment of something like a Vancouver City Housing Authority. And this independent authority would then be in charge of maintaining all the affordable spaces that we have now, and creating more through the enforcement of inclusionary zoning policy. Because how that works right now is that inclusionary zoning means any building built over six stories tall would mean that 20% of those units would be designated as affordable rentals. And what's happening now is that it's not being enforced. When we're on council, we're going to work with our colleagues in there. We're going to basically point out, okay, so everybody here wants affordable housing. I think that's sort of been the central issue of this campaign, and everyone recognizes that that's something a lot of people in the city talk about. And then we're going to say this is one way that's an already existing tool that we need to enforce to ensure that we have more affordable housing in the city.
And in terms of what the internal polling says, your chances tomorrow, are they pretty good?
Well, we don't, COPE is not very rich, so we don't have internal polling numbers. But, for us, we get a feel for where we stand by all the people we talk to in the street. As a matter of fact, I'm actually here at a commercial drive right now just shaking hands with a bunch of folks that's spreading the word about getting out to vote. And, if we're going to measure it by that and just the number of people that we talk to when we go door knocking, and everyone's always expressed their support. And I'm still getting used to the fact that when people see me, they recognize me in the street and I, and they know me. And, if we're going to measure things by that, I'm feeling very, very confident.
RJ, I'll let you get back to campaigning. I've already voted for you in the early poll, and I'm encouraging others to do the same. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Joseph. I really, really appreciate you making some time out for this interview, and we'll see what the results are like tomorrow.
You're very welcome. The website for more, rjaquino.ca, cope.bc.ca is the party's website. On the line is RJ Aquino, a COPE candidate for Vancouver City Council. I'm Joseph Planta.